Chapter 22. Monster from the Sea. The monster from the sea charged upon us with the sound of a billion oceans combined with the screams of those of us trapped inside the train. The powerful wave hit, lifting our heavy passenger car off the tracks. A gigantic barrage of water poured through the broken doors and windows of the coach. It seemed as if the entire ocean were upon us as I felt myself underwater, somersaulting and turning, flung against the walls and smashed against the seats. Bodies floated and flailed around me. My lungs were bursting and I tried to breathe, but I only gulped in salt water. I was drowning. Then the passenger car bumped and shook and settled on the ground. As if a plug had been pulled in a tub, the water inside began slithering out through the open places, pulling me along in the current, sucking me through some opening, and then hurling me into the air. I don't know how long I was out cold, but in the early hours of the morning, I awoke and found myself cradled in the broken bough of a tall gumbo limbo tree. It seemed I was at least 20 feet off the ground. As the giant wave receded, it must have lifted me up into the limbs. The wind howled in gusts through the leafless branches, but the storm had passed. I was hurting everywhere, and I had stinging cuts all over me. "Star! Star!" I screamed hoarsely over and over. "Mom! Dad!" There was no answer. I put both my arms around the trunk of the tree as if it were my only friend in the world, and I began to sob. As dawn came, the horror of the storm surrounded me. Where was I? I knew I must be in Isla Morada, but this place was some strange desert that was as desolate as the moon. I could barely discern what was left of the packing house. The timbers and shingles were scattered over the embankment where the train tracks had been. What had happened to the Ashburns, who had gone to the packing house for safety? The Millionaires Club and the hotel were gone completely. Some houses remained, but they'd been moved or had been wrecked so badly they were indistinguishable. I strained to see where our house had been. All I could make out were scattered piles of rubble. Then I turned toward Miss Edith's house, the one that had been anchored so securely to the rock coral beneath it. Except for one wall, there was nothing left. Seaweed and litter hung from the branches of other trees where the giant wave had tossed them. I shuddered at the sight of a torn orange apron draped across the fronds of a palm tree. "Oh, no! No, Miss Edith!" I screamed in panic. My stomach knotted, and I began to cry. Then I thought of Mara. I scanned the other trees that were still standing, praying that she was not there, praying that she was alive. Had my family survived? "Mom! Dad!" I called, not recognizing my own trembling voice. "Star!" I was stabbed with pains everywhere. And finally, I slipped into darkness and let it take me to a faraway, peaceful place. Later, when I awoke again, I realized that beyond my pain, I was alive, at least. Where was my family? Had they made it out of the coach before the wave hit? But where were they? They had made it out of the coach before the wave hit, but where were they? I glanced toward Miss Edith's tattered apron, which swung silently on the nearby tree. I remembered that Mara had feared something was about to end. She had been right. "Mara!" I yelled to the empty sky. I had to get down. I had to find out if Mom and Dad and Star had survived. I would never forget all the times I'd teased my little sister and called her a pest. Now I would give my own life to find her safe. "Star! Star!" I called into the air. "Please, God, let her be all right." I saw a few people staggering around as if in a trance. "Help me!" I called. If they heard me, they were in such pain or so stunned, they never looked up. "I must get down and find my family," I thought. The ground looked so far away. I couldn't jump without breaking bones. There were large branches lower on the tree, and I began to descend. Once I got to the lowest branch, perhaps I would be able to shimmy down. "Dad! Mom!" I called. Over by the black shadow of the upturned passenger car, I could hear faint cries. Were people still trapped inside? Jake! My dad's voice. He was limping as he ran toward me. Are you all right? I'm okay. Where's Mom? Where's Star? Mom's hurt, and Star is pinned down under a timber from the packing house. I can't get her out by myself. I'm coming down, Dad. I scrambled down through the branches. Stay below me. Dad ran to the base of the tree and looked up at me. Come ahead, Jake. You can do it. From where I was on the lowest bough, it was about 15 feet to the ground. I could jump 15 feet, couldn't I? But I decided to slide down the trunk instead. Dad stood below, watching. I noticed a cut on his forehead that had bled until his shirt was drenched. Are you okay? I'm all right, but Mom is hurt pretty bad. Broken leg and God knows what else. And Star? I can't get to her, so I don't know how badly she's hurt. I was close enough to see the deep worry in Dad's eyes. I wrapped my legs around the trunk and descended quickly. I had to help Mom and Star. As soon as my feet touched the ground, I was in my father's arms. Thank God you're alive, Jake. His voice broke, and we held on to each other for several moments. Let's go to Mom and Star, I said. Where are they? The wave dropped us near the packing house. The Ashburns went there. Did you see them? Dad nodded. The family made it there before the heft of the storm hit, but the ocean roared all the way up there, too, and hit the building full force. Roy was washed away. They're searching for him now. I had to see my mother and sister now. Let's get to Mom and Star, quick. We plodded over limbs and trees until we came near the remains of a water-soaked chair where Mom was stretched out. Her face was swollen and bruised. She held her arms awkwardly, and one leg was folded to the side. Oh, Mom! I ran to her to hug her, but she moaned. Don't touch me, Jake. I'm hurting so badly, and I think I've broken several bones. She seemed too dazed to cry, but she murmured, Jake. I bent down to her, and she kissed me over and over. Go help Star, she whispered. She's over there. Dad and I raced to the railroad bed, where a wall of the packing house lay tipped on its side. Broken boxes were spilled everywhere, and flies were already buzzing and gathering around the rotten fruit. When we came to a large timber that crossed our path, Dad pointed to a hole under the tracks where the water had washed the earth away. Star's under there. It's the central beam of the packing house. If we could just move that timber, we could get to her. Did it land on her? I was afraid to look. I don't think so. The beam isn't directly on her, but if we move it, I'm afraid it could fall on her, or the earth could cave in and she'd be smothered. I bent over and could see a glimpse of her blonde hair and her little hand. Star, it's me, Jake. My voice was tight and I could hardly speak. We're coming to get you, Star. When there was no answer, my heart broke in two. I love you, Star. I'm going to get you out, my little twinkle star. Please, God, I prayed silently. Let her be alive. Help me to get her out somehow. I'm strong, Dad, I said. Together we should be able to move it. Thank God she fell into that cavity. Otherwise, come on, Dad, let's give it a try. I tried to ignore my own pain and the blood oozing from the deep scratches on my legs. We each took an end of the timber. Hold on tightly, Dad said. For God's sake, Jake, don't drop it. If it falls, it will crush Star. And stop immediately if any earth begins to fall on her. Dad counted. 1, 2, 3. We strained to lift the heavy shaft of wood that trapped my sister, but we couldn't budge it. Dad looked defeated. There's no way we can move that beam. Then I thought of Jewel. Jewel could do it, I exclaimed. I've seen her pull boats out of the water as if they were toys. If we can get Jewel, I know she'll help us. Go. I'll stay with Mom. I turned and began to run toward Sharky's place. We don't have much time, Jake. Dad called after me. Hurry! Jewel is sturdy, and Sharky would have protected her from the storm, I told myself. They're both all right. I know they are. Even with his bad leg, Sharky's a strong man, and Jewel is powerful. She can lift that beam. They'll help us. They've got to help us.